tap out. Go. Welcome to a special edition of the Multimedia Men podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. I'm Brian with Boomstick Comics, and you know, it's the Multimedia Men. We have a good time doing this, and I'm with a special guest. You know this man. He's been on the show before a lot, and his name is Scott Jackson. What's up, man?
Hi. How's it going?
Going all right, man. Going all right. What's the best movie you've seen recently, minus
John Wick 2?
John Wick 2.
Oh, it's too bad I said it already. John Wick 2.
John.
No, I'm happy you asked me that because I actually saw something a week or two ago and it really got me going. It doesn't come out until I think June. It's called The Big Sick with Kumail Nanjiani. Oh my God, I loved it. It's so freaking good.
Is it funny, action, thriller, horror?
It's I hate saying this. It's kind of like a romantic comedy, I guess. I don't know.
So it's like Steel Magnolias and Love
I
Actually.
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't seen those Steel Magnolias. I'm a terrible person. I spend all my time watching John Wick and John Wick 2 and
Army of Darkness.
Terrible things. And Army of Darkness. Which I'm wanting to go to that here. What is it, next week or something? They're doing that screening. That should be pretty fun.
Who's doing Army of Darkness? Why do I not know about this? Is it
you know, it's Texas Theater. And
oh, yeah, that's right. No, I do know that. Raimi's going to be there. Not Sam Raimi, but Ted or Ivan or Raimi is going to be there, right?
Yeah, many Raimi. Not the one that cost a whole bunch of money. The one that cost just a little bit of money.
Correct.
But it'll still be fun.
I do remember that. That's right. That will be awesome. We need to go to that because you and I love Army of Darkness and Bruce Campbell and all things Evil Dead, right? And that's at the Texas Theater in Oak Cliff. Fantastic.
The historic Texas Theater.
The historic.
Yeah, that's isn't that your favorite movie?
Army of Darkness is my favorite movie of all time.
See, yeah, you have to go. Let's do that.
It's the perfect movie, actually, if you think about it. It has everything you would want in a movie and in characters in life.
Okay. Well, I feel like we need to do something about this because I think that Evil Dead 2 is better.
I mean, I love Evil Dead 2. I love the first Evil Dead. But there's just something about Army of Darkness that, I don't know, it
shouldn't exist. I don't think it should exist at all.
It shouldn't exist.
It does.
But it does. And it's like, it's the perfect movie. It really is.
It is. And it's on HD DVD, so that makes me so happy.
I think I've owned the Evil Dead 1 and 2 and Army of Darkness films maybe 15 times over in different versions of Blu-ray, Laserdisc, DVD, VHS. There's no 4K yet, but hopefully soon there will be.
Oh, yeah, if anything gets a 4K release, it's going to be that because they want to suck all the money on me. It's stupid. But you didn't say you had an HD DVD.
No, I do not. Who has an HD DVD player still?
Like three of them.
It's like three HD DVD players. That is crazy.
Yeah, I got like 70 or 80 movies. I gotta have one, man.
I used to have one. I was an early adopter. I had both Blu-ray and HD DVD, and I was a big supporter of HD DVD. And the second Warner Brothers defected to Blu-ray, I went and sold all my HD DVD stuff because I knew the format war was over. And that was when like all the online stores and physical stores were selling or were doing like buy one get one free Blu-ray. So like I stocked up.
Oh man, see, I jumped on the bandwagon once everything was buy one get three free HD DVDs. So, you know, I love it. We have a store called Movie Trading Company over here, and it's like, I live right by the one that sells HD DVDs still. So I'll go and buy one every once in a while, and the clerk, like, gives me the weirdest look, and he goes, do you even have a player for this?
And you're like, yes, I have three.
Yeah, I do. don't test my fanboyism for HD DVDs. I feel like I could tell you this, and I love that it's going to be on a podcast now. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. I was laying on my girlfriend's floor, and I was kind of drunk, and, like, she was, I don't know, playing with a cat or something. And I like started looking at her movie collection, and all of a sudden I see Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind on HD DVD sitting right there. And it just like, I thought maybe I was a little too drunk and I was imagining it. but it did something for me, and I was just like, oh my God, you were how like, is this even a thing?
Were you instantly like hard? You were like, oh my God, this chick's awesome, but then now she has HD DVDs laying around.
I went in there and I banged the shit out of her after that, and you know, like I couldn't tell her why, and I still haven't. I've told one other person that would, Keenan, I told him, I showed him a picture of it. I go, I don't think anybody's going to understand how happy this made me. Because she doesn't have a player. Like, I guess she just has that one because it was the combo disc or something. And she can watch the regular DVD on it.
Oh, I'm glad. It sounds like a match made in HD DVD heaven.
It really is.
Oh my goodness.
That's terrible.
That's great, man. I like that. I like that HD DVD brings people closer, and HD DVD is responsible for sex, it seems like. Blu-ray's never done that.
Yeah, I've never had sex over a Blu-ray. I've had sex in the middle of a Blu-ray playing, but HD DVD didn't even have to start.
Yeah.
So it was just there.
It was just there, and it happened.
Yeah, and of all movies, too, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That's just a bummer movie, and it got me laid.
That is a bummer movie, man. That is a bummer movie.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, what's the best movie you've seen lately?
The best movie I've seen lately?
Yeah, and it can be John Wick 2. That's fine.
I mean, John Wick 2 is damn good. Actually, I'm going to talk about a movie that I just watched. I just interviewed an awesome director named Matthias. And this director a few years ago directed a funny horror film called Cockneys vs. Zombies. Have you seen it?
No. What?
So it's a British film, and it's like old people versus zombies. It's right up there with Shaun of the Dead level. Like, it's really funny and gory, and it's a lot of fun. So this same director made a movie called Enter the Warrior's Gate. And it is written by, what's his name? Who directed Lucy and Fifth Element?
Luc Besson?
Luc Besson, yes. So it was written by him and directed by this guy, Matthias. And it is about, it takes place almost present day, and it's, like, about this teenage video gamer who loves to play video games, and he is sucked through, like, basically this portal in this box that gets in an antique store into, like, this video game realm, and he has to fight, like, in, like, ancient Asia, and, like, the bad guy is played by Drax, you know who Drax is, right?
Drax, like Dave Bautista?
Yes, Dave Bautista is in this movie.
Oh my God.
So this movie was like, Dave Bautista did this movie literally right after the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So, and it's fun, man. It is a funny, silly, action-packed movie. And it costs like a little over $50 million to make. So, I mean, it looks good, and it's like a pretty good set, but it was fun, man. I liked it. It brings you back to like those old nostalgic 80s, 90s movies where like the kid goes on a crazy adventure and has to save the world type of thing. It was pretty cool.
No, it reminds me of, I saw this movie, and it was at a horror movie marathon that they didn't reveal the titles of what was going to happen. And it had Emilio Estevez, very young, and he gets, like, sucked into this video game. And it's just, I don't know, it's ridiculous. And it wasn't a whole movie. It was, like, an anthology thing. And I think, I could be wrong. I want to call it Nightmares or something. But, yeah, he gets pulled into this video game. And I'm just imagining that. And then all of a sudden, Dave Bautista shows up and starts beating the shit out of Emilio Estevez. That sounds like a good movie.
I mean, I like Dave Bautista. I think he's a badass.
I do, too. I don't think he's made the best choices. I mean, I haven't seen Kickboxer Vengeance, but I don't.
He was good in it. Just the movie was terrible.
Oh, what about Van Damme?
Oh, Van Damme's in it. it's such a terrible movie. Van Damme is in it, but that's basically all it is. He's just in the movie.
Well, it like came out within the past year, and it's already playing on USA Network.
Yeah, no, I reviewed the movie.
Oh man, God, I'm sorry.
It was bad. It was a skip it type of thing.
Skip it. It opened at the AMC. Well, not AMC. What is it now? It's the Starplex in Mesquite. That's like a dollar theater. I remember seeing it there on Showtimes, and I was just like, "What? No, that doesn't." I mean, I saw Midnight Meat Train at a dollar theater, but still.
That's a good movie, though.
That's a dope movie. I don't know how that opened in dollar theater.
I like that
movie. And then years later, I'm like, what? That's Bradley Cooper? Holy shit.
He's blowing up now.
Yeah. He's a guardian of the galaxy. You know, it's terrible.
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, let's move on to some wrestling. Did you hear the wrestling news today?
Oh, is it the thing you tweeted about?
Yes, it is.
All the balls that are going to happen here that are going to be on fire?
Yes. So, for those of you listening, WWE, or actually I should say American Airlines Center, the venue here in Dallas, tweeted out that tickets go on sale for a WWE pay-per-view coming July 9th to Dallas, Texas. And it's a new pay-per-view, a brand new pay-per-view. It's going to be a Raw-only pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire.
It's a Jerry Lewis song. So I don't know where like the endorsements go or anything, but
they got rights to the song and they said, you know what, we have to make a pay-per-view.
It's great. I mean, there's tons of memes and GIFs now of this pay-per-view, and it is stated in their announcement video that Brock Lesnar is set to defend his Universal Championship for the first time at this Great Balls of Fire show.
Brock Lesnar and some Great Balls of Fire.
So, I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, I'm really looking forward to the promos for this pay-per-view.
They are setting themselves up for so many bad things. Like, whose idea was this? Come on. But, you know, we're going to have fun with it, right? So, whatever.
I agree. Our good friend who does our Wrestling is Everything is Wrestling podcast, Tom Nix, said earlier today when he found out this news that SmackDown should have an Ice Ice Baby pay-per-view to coincide with this Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view.
Yep, 2 weeks later, SmackDown. It works because, you know, fire, red, Raw, ice, blue, SmackDown.
Yeah. So what do you expect for this? Because, like, some people thought this was the July show was going to be bad blood, but I guess they're not doing that. So it looks like Great Balls of Fire. What do we expect here? Is this, I mean, is there going to be, like, a kick in the ball match, or is there going to be, like, a fire match? I don't know.
Bring back the Inferno match, and this is going to be Kane's last hurrah. Like, I don't know.
It could be. It could be Kane's last hurrah because he's running for, like, governor or, no, mayor or something of some Tennessee town.
Kind of like what Rhino did. but it could be, and that could be the tie-in. Maybe it's going to be Kane versus Lesnar, and that could be the guy who brings him down. I don't know. What does kind of bug me is, that's a spoiler for the next few months saying, hey, he's going to defend his title here. Really? So he just gets to hold on to that for 3, 4, 5 months, however long it is. I'm not going to math. I'm driving. But whatever. It's kind of weird.
No, I
don't know why they would say that.
No, I mean, like, he's done that before. The last time Brock Lesnar was champion, he did this. He did a pay-per-view, and then he, you know, 2, 3 months, and then he come back, and that he's a part-timer.
But it's the future, and I feel like they should be better than they were yesterday. It's like things were going in the right direction. Kevin Owens was the champion, and, you know, I felt like the title kind of meant something. And now he's relegated back to mid-card fighting for the U.S. title. Same thing with AJ. That's just odd. It's really odd. But you know what this could mean?
What could this mean?
It could mean Zack Ryder is going to get his opportunity because he should be back any month now. He can take on Brock Lesnar for that title.
It ain't gonna happen. Live, it's gonna Dallas, be Texas. It's gonna be Braun Strowman, or it's going to be be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Or it could be Kane with them great balls of fire.
Yeah, this could be Kane's last hurrah. Or do you think it's like
so stupid?
Or do you think it's like this is like the PG replacement for Bad Blood? Like this is just a fun name, but
oh yeah, so Balls of Fire sounds more PG than Bad Blood.
I don't know.
I mean, come on. But what did I tweet you? It's like they couldn't find a venue on Cedar Springs for this.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, you did say we could. How many people would be there? Everybody would be there.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be nice and oiled up and real hot. Hey, before we go to the pay-per-view, you want a pregame on Cedar Springs so we can tell everybody that we're going to see Great Balls of Fire tonight? It will be a Sunday. We can have a big, like, luscious brunch. God.
Man, a Great Balls of Fire match. I'm trying to figure out what this entails. The winner will be determined on who sets balls on fire. Oh, my God, I have no idea. I don't know what to do.
Well, I mean, hopefully Jericho's still out because I don't want to see his scarf get lit up.
Well, let's talk about that. So we just announced the Great Balls of Fire, which is a Raw exclusive pay-per-view, which, you know, will have Lesnar's first Universal title defense. However, let's talk about the upcoming pay-per-view on Sunday. This Sunday, which will be Payback, the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania. And it will be in San Jose, California. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho match. This is a singles match for the United States Championship, which Kevin Owens has. And Kevin Owens is on SmackDown. If Jericho wins this title, Jericho will head to SmackDown, leaving Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens both on SmackDown again. So I think this. Do you think this feud is over? Like, it needs to be over, right? It's been going on for so long.
There's no way it's not. It's done. And I'm sure you've noticed it. Jericho has posted a bunch of dates for Fozzy going on tour. And he's actually coming here twice.
Yeah.
Over the course of like a month and a half or something.
Yep.
Which, by the way, if you haven't seen Fozzy live, it's definitely worth checking out. They're a lot of fun. But yeah, no, Owens is going to win. And Jericho is going to go away for a while. And maybe he'll come back and they'll be friends again. I don't know.
It won't happen. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. After WrestleMania, I thought Jericho was going to literally be done. And he's still here, so he's surprising me. So I would love to see Jericho go to SmackDown. He's faced Jericho now. So I'm waiting for him to turn. But yeah, it makes sense that he will. He'll be out for a little bit longer. This pay-per-view... Yeah, go ahead.
It's just odd that he, you know, wasn't gone after WrestleMania, and he just kind of lingered for a little bit. And I missed the first little bit of Raw on Monday, but I heard that it was a good 20-minute-long promo with Jericho and Miz and Ambrose, and it was just, like, the best part of the show.
Yeah. He's excellent. Jericho is awesome. And Raw needs to... I mean, nothing on this Raw pay-per-view really excites me. I mean, you have Enzo and Cass versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, which is the tag team match, which is on the pre-show. And then you have the Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus, which is weird because they're both big face teams. I don't understand. Yeah, who are you rooting for? Because you want to root for Cesaro and Sheamus, but you also want to root for the Hardy Boys. And the Hardy Boys,
everybody's going to root for the Hardys.
Yeah,
it's just going to happen. Because which that was a big highlight for me on WrestleMania. I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to happen so soon. I figured it'd be a couple months from now, or maybe at least the Raw after WrestleMania. So that was kind of a cool surprise. What I could see happening, though, is this is when Matt Hardy becomes broken, like, all the way. So he's been doing the delete thing, and you've heard a little bit of stuff, but, like, it seems like the cameras are kind of panning away every single time he does that little swipe. And his entrance is kind of – it's showing some things that are different from Matt, but – it's been mainly the same old Matt Hardy that you used to see in WWE.
Matt Hardy 2.0.
Yeah, 2.0.
So we'll see about that. And then the interesting match of the night, which it will either be pretty cool or it'll be absolutely terrible, which will be Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt in a House of Horrors match. And I don't know what to do. I don't understand what they're. I hope they just don't like show the screen, like the carpet or the bottom of the ring, and have it change.
Just like WrestleMania.
Yeah, how it changed the maggots and stuff like that. Hopefully they like go all out, but I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know what they're gonna set up, or, I mean, what do you think about this?
I don't even think they know what a House of Horrors match is. I whoever this came up with this idea, they obviously saw what happened at WrestleMania, or they had a hand in it and said, hey, we should put a name on this match. Let's call it the House of Horrors. And it's just, I do think it's just going to be a repeat of that.
Yeah, I agree.
With like maybe no holds barred rules or something.
That would be cool. I mean, Bray Wyatt will lose. Randy Orton will win, like always.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And I like Randy Orton.
I know you love him.
I love Randy Orton. And I love Bray Wyatt, too. I want Bray Wyatt to start winning meaningful matches.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he was champ going into Mania. That was a huge surprise to me.
Yeah.
Back to Hardy, that would have been so great to see him interject into that feud. That would have been amazing, actually, because that broken Matt Hardy just fits perfectly with a Bray Wyatt and with what Randy Orton was doing. It's amazing. I don't really know what he would do with any other superstars.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I hope it works. I hope it works.
I hope it does, too, because I mean, this is why Matt Hardy started doing that. He's kind of boring. He's nothing special, especially whenever you got Jeff Hardy right there. Well, like, I know they're going to elevate him to heavyweight champion again.
No, yeah. I mean, Matt Hardy, I mean, they're both really old. They both take really bumps, really good bumps really well. But Matt's, like, it was his character. It's so much fun. So, I mean, I'm glad we have, like, the original Hardy Boys out right now, but I think the plan is to have Matt and Jeff go to their broken Matt Hardy and brother Nero. So
it's so much fun to say, isn't it?
Brother Nero. Yes, it is.
I knew you'd come.
And then also on the card, you have Neville versus Awesome Aries, which we saw that exact same match at WrestleMania. Don't know why they're doing that again. And then
just put Neville on the main card already. Like, he is too damn big to be a cruiserweight now.
Yeah, he got big after that few months of injury, so he's pretty big.
He's like the Brock Lesnar of the cruiserweights. It's insane.
True, and I don't know if Austin Aries is going to be the one to beat him, but oh well. It'll be a fun match. It's just, what's the point? Yep. And then you have Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. So Braun Strowman, if you've been watching Raw recently, has literally just been killing everybody. He's been murdering people in and outside the ring. He put Roman Reigns in an ambulance and tipped that over. He put the luchador in a dumpster and threw it off
dumpster
the stage.
Match.
Dumpster match, which was terrible.
I kind of enjoyed that.
I mean, it was good that, what's his name, won, like beat Braun Strowman,
yes,
technically.
I was so happy with that.
But, you know, Braun got pissed. So, like, I like the angle of Strowman right now. And now, like, Roman Reigns has been absent from TV just because his brother died in real life.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, you remember Jamal and Rosie, the big Samoan tag team?
Oh, that's his brother?
That in real life, yeah.
Oh, man.
So he's been dealing with that, and I feel bad for him. But now it's Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. And, you know, I mean, Strowman needs to win this. I don't think Reigns can come back, and he shouldn't be able to beat Strowman. Strowman needs to win just for people to like Reigns a little bit more. So, I don't know. That's my thought on it.
No, I agree. They really made a mistake having Roman go over on Undertaker. Like, they thought that would make people like him, and it's just, no, you're the dude that retired Undertaker. Screw you. Well, no, we don't want that.
Yeah, it wasn't just that, but it was just how it happened. It was just, you know, when HBK retired Ric Flair, it was like meaningful and heartfelt, and you even shed a tear on it because of what they did in that match. But here, it was just like Roman Reigns, the next big dog, and I'm like, oh god.
Yeah, this is my yard now.
Yeah, don't do it. And then whatever, you have Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Yes, that's going to be the match of the night. Yeah. It should be.
Because both those Seth guys are badasses. They're just excellent wrestlers. Samoa Joe is from from Huntington Beach, California, where our very own Mike Pertil is from. So I got to give him a shout out for that. But Samoa Joe is just a beast. He's like Brock Lesnar. And then Seth Rollins is just, you know, he could really do anything. So, I don't know. I think you're right. That is going to be the match of the night.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be a lot of fun. I really enjoy watching Seth Rollins. I'm afraid he's going to hurt somebody or get hurt constantly, but I mean.
Yeah, every time he gets in the ring, I'm like, oh, God, don't do the knee. We won't see him forever. Oh, it's
good. Yeah, I know. Aside from Payback, though, I want to ask you, this is something that's been bugging me. What do you think about what they're doing with Shinsuke?
Nakamura, you know, he's the, we all know Shinsuke. I mean, he made his debut literally a year ago at NXT, Dallas. And he did the NXT for a year. Now he's on the main card on SmackDown Live. And, you know, there's really nowhere for him to be right now. The best person, in my opinion, to show Shinsuke's talents is Dolph Ziggler, even though it doesn't make a lick of sense.
I agree.
But Dolph Ziggler, you know, he could turn on the heel, he can turn on the face, but he's a big heel now. It was weird for him to talk about Michael Jackson and Shinsuke. But that's just turning on the heel factor, you know. That's what they're doing. So, I mean, this doesn't matter. Like, this is a match just to showcase Shinsuke to people who don't watch NXT. So I think they'll build, you know, something that makes Shinsuke look good, and that'll be that.
And hopefully it does. I just don't think they need to be – I don't think Shinsuke needs to be talking right now, and they keep – giving him a microphone, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And just, there wasn't anything for him to do on the main roster, so why bring him up now? Like, they needed to have a better plan for it.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going with it. I mean, oh my God, if we can get a Kevin Owens and Shinsuke match, oh good God, that would be awesome.
Oh man, that would be fun.
Or a Shinsuke and AJ Styles match.
That would be great too. Like, oh, imagine a triple threat between all those, man.
Yeah, so
I could see a Owens and Shinsuke feud, and Owens just berates Shinsuke constantly, and is like, you know, goes kind of a racist route about it, and Shinsuke doesn't even say a word, and he's like, "What are you going to talk? Are you going to talk?" And then he just beats the shit out of Kevin Owens.
No, I agree. I mean, that would be awesome. I mean, Shinsuke, I think this is first thing, and you have Ziggler here, and they're going to get their one match over with, and then I think it'll be on. Because, you know, that would be really cool to see Kevin Owens retain the title of U.S. champion, and then Shinsuke go after that.
Yeah, you're right. That would be the best possible outcome. Now that we've gone to SmackDown, though, this is something else that kind of bugged me, is... so you have Jinder Mahal being the number one contender, which I have no problem with. I think that's awesome. But the thing is, they're building up a feud with Jinder and Randy Orton, and that's giving away what's going to be the ending to the match at Payback. It means Orton's going to retain. Like, I don't think that's a good idea to be acting like that.
Who knows what they're doing with creative over there? I know Daniel Bryan's going to be out for a while just because of his wife having their kid here in the next week, and I don't know what they're trying to do there. I have no idea. I like Jinder. I think he's a big badass, but what can they do? What can they do?
No, I love that promo earlier this week where during the commercial break or whatever, he had stolen the title and left the ring, the arena with it. I think that was really cool.
No, that is great. And they've done that before, and it's funny. It's great, but yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do with it.
Yeah, he's an odd guy to give a push to. That makes me think he's just gonna get buried. But I love that somebody like Jinder Mahal is getting a chance. That opens the door for a guy like Zack Ryder or a guy like Shinsuke to get a chance.
Yeah.
Or Ziggler again. Like, give it to Ziggler one more time because he works. I think if he was able to write his own stuff maybe he is writing his own stuff and that's a problem. I don't know. I've seen him give good promos. They're just never on WWE TV.
Yeah.
It's always on videos. It's kind of weird.
And see, it's weird right now because I'm looking at the Backlash card right now, which is May 21st in Illinois. And that's the SmackDown pay-per-view. They have slated right now for the WWE Championship, Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal, the Usos versus Breezango, and Kevin Owens or Chris Jericho versus AJ Styles. So, Shinsuke is not on that, so I guess it's going to be AJ Styles and Kevin Owens or Chris Jericho for the United States Champion, at least for next month. So, and then Jinder Mahal, I just can't see, could you see Jinder Mahal winning the WWE Championship this month or next month? It's pretty sick.
No, yeah. Never. But I like the prospect of it, you know, happening. I didn't see Breezango winning the, that Beat the Clock challenge. I was so happy to see them come out, and they were the team that got an entrance and everything, and I'm just like, oh, this is great. And then I got kind of sad. I was like, man, there's no way. This is not going to happen. And then all of a sudden, they won.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. I love that team. Their characters work so freaking well together.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know where Shinsuke is going to play on this this card, but yeah, who knows? I don't know what they're going to do. But
I just got the image of Breezango giving Shinsuke a fashion ticket. And then Shinsuke just kicking the shit out of them.
Oh my god, Shinsuke is like the epitome of awesome style. Seriously.
Yep. It's going to happen.
It's going to be great. going back to Payback, it looks like the main event is actually going to be the Raw Women's Championship between Bayley and Alexa Bliss, and I'm just tired of Bayley. I get that she's for the kids and everything, but she's just terrible. And
really?
Bayley versus Alexa, because Bayley's been champion for a while now, and I'd like to see Alexa Bliss take it again. But it looks like that's like the main event. That's like, you know, that's the biggest championship belt that's on the line. Because, of course, Brock's not going to be wrestling.
Yeah, it's funny how nobody's really talked about that either. Like, nobody's wanting to gun for the championship. And it's just kind of odd.
Well, it's because they can't. Because Brock's not going to wrestle. He will wrestle, you know, at maybe the four big pay-per-views a year. And that's how that will work.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So...
Where's Cena on? Is he on SmackDown or Raw?
Cena's on SmackDown, but he hasn't been on since WrestleMania, basically, because he's off doing his you know, other ventures.
He's still getting late after giving that Rock out.
Yeah, seriously. With all of his rules, you can't
that,
see him.
That was so great.
That was
the smartest thing I have seen on WWE TV in a long time. Cena's house rules.
And then, you know what? That segues into the Marine 5 Battleground.
Oh, God.
I did watch it. I did review it. It's not my favorite Marine, but it is a fun Marine.
What's your favorite Marine, Brian?
I'd have to...
That's a weird sentence, isn't it?
Yes. What's your favorite Marine? I'd have to say my favorite Marine movie is the last one, Part 4, just because it's so over-the-top ridiculous.
It's better than the first one?
Well, the first one just tried to take itself too seriously, and then, you know, ever since The Miz got in on it, it's just fun. It's more fun to watch The Miz do his thing. So yeah, it's basically the Miz in a handicap match against the old faction of the social outcasts. That's basically what it is.
I was wondering what the idea behind that was, because I'm just like, did they just like look at the roster and go, okay, who's getting a paycheck and isn't wrestling?
Yeah, no, I'm sure they're like, oh, hey, we want to be in one. They're like, oh, yeah, we have time to film this. I mean, it was probably filmed over 2 weeks, and it's ridiculous. They're like, okay, where can we take this? Okay, the Marine now is actually an EMT, drives an ambulance, and then instead of, like, government officials and secret ops, they're going to be fighting a biker gang. It's funny. But I will say this, on the poster and on the cover of the Blu-ray, they advertise as the Miz's wife, Maryse, like a main part of the movie. She's in like the first scene of the movie and she dies.
Oh my God.
And she's in it and she doesn't have any like lines. It's just her screaming. And I'm like, really? That's it? She's on the cover and the poster and everything. I'm like, what? How is that happening? But yeah,
it doesn't surprise me.
In the first 15 minutes, the Miz does kill his wife and does kill, Naomi in the movie. It's awesome. Kills two women.
The Miz kills his own wife?
Well, because he's an EMT. He's like the guy who drives the ambulance, and she's like trapped in her car. There's like a ton of bricks about to fall on her, and Miz can't save her, so basically he killed her.
I love that to you, that means he killed her.
He killed her. He killed his wife, and then he killed Naomi, like in the first 15 minutes. So the Miz kills two women in the first 15 minutes of Marine 5 Battleground.
The Miz hates women. Miz hates women.
It's so funny. And then you have Bo Dallas and Heath Slater. It's so fun to watch. So, and Curtis Axel, it's just
a little perfect.
Yeah, it is. It is the Miz and Naomi. Naomi runs the bar. She's the bartender.
You're fucking kidding me.
I'm not.
Oh, it's my God.
It's pretty funny.
Wow. Did you watch the one with Ziggler and Kane? I want to say it's called Countdown or something.
I did not watch that, but I do want to watch that.
I do too. I don't know why. Like, I can't believe that they're just like at a WWE event. Somebody's threatened to blow the building or whatever the synopsis of that is. It's like, it's so stupid that they really say that it's at a WWE event. I couldn't believe that.
Hey, so whatever. I'm sure these scripts get written over a weekend, and they're like, okay, fast track this. We're gonna give you like, you know, $500,000, and you have a week or two to shoot it. And they're like, okay, we don't have time to rewrite or do anything. We just have to go.
I just wish when we would get quality WWE films like The Chaperone.
The Chaperone or See No Evil. Which there were two of those.
You know, See No Evil is actually kind of fun.
It is. No, I agree. I agree.
I never got to watch the second one. I really wanted to.
I think some of The Rock's first films he did were WWE partly films.
I want to say that they slapped their name on one or two of them, but like for the most part, that was not advertised because it was like Universal being like, I don't think we need to tell people that you guys were involved in this. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, well, I was trying to. The rundown with The Rock, that was a WWE Films. That is the production company listed WWE Films.
Yep. I think I want to say Walking Tall was as well.
You know, I'm gonna look that up. Okay, The Scorpion King, The Rundown, Walking Tall, See No Evil, The Marine, The Condemned with Steve Austin, which I reviewed.
Oh my God, I almost watched that like 3 nights ago, no lie.
I reviewed that.
Movie's dope.
It's okay.
No, that movie's fucking fun.
Which one was Inside Out with Triple H?
It's Triple H.
And Michael Rapaport and Parker Posey? Yep. Oh my, and Bruce Dern? What?
Yeah, I know, right? I think I watched like half of that.
Oh my God! And then they did the remake of Leprechaun, and Hornswoggle was Leprechaun.
Yeah, what a fucking joke! Yeah. They're like, we got a little guy; he can be the Leprechaun.
And the movie, the recent movie from last year, the horror film Incarnate. That was WWE Films because
Mark Henry's in it. See, again, it's like they just look at guys who aren't wrestling but are still getting a paycheck and they go, hey, we need you to do something to earn this.
Correct. Oh, and then this year's The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, the Jesus movie with Shawn Michaels, WWE.
Yeah, we never talked about that.
I know you watched it. I watched it for sure. It was awful.
Yeah. Pretty much all of those Blumhouse Tilt movies are awful. The only one that I saw that I enjoyed was The Belko Experiment. And I feel like there was something else, but like I kind of want to see that.
You know what is coming out, I think today actually. Do you know that movie Slight?
Fuck you, I just said that.
Oh, sorry. Well, you cut out. You cut out and I didn't hear that. Okay. Slight. Yeah, you're right. I didn't hear you, but that's Blumhouse and WWE Studios. Who's in that movie that we don't know?
I don't think anybody's in that one. Because if anybody is, it's because they went and did reshoots. Because it was bought at a Sundance.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
All right. So, we also have an upcoming movie called Brother's Blood.
Oh my God! What? So that has Kane and Undertaker in it?
No, the only person in that movie is R-Truth.
Who would put him in a movie? Why?
Because he's amazing.
No, he was amazing when he was speaking about Lil Jimmy and all that, and he was like, Zack Ryder's got a shirt. Why don't I have a shirt?
Yep.
And then when he was K-Quick, it was pretty great, too. K-Quick and Road Dogg getting rowdy.
Yeah. And then you also have a movie called Armed Response, who stars Seth Rollins. And then you have one called Mohawk, which will star Luke Harper. And, the Fall Guy with The Rock, Fighting With My Family with The Rock. And actually, it looks like WWE Films is producing the big one, Rampage with The Rock.
That's a surprise.
That is a surprise.
And I'm kind of surprised that they even have their name on Fighting With Family. Like, I mean, I know that that involves a superstar that's under contract, but, they're usually not into these big budget movies like that.
Well, Fighting With My Family it'll have The Rock. So, I mean, they'll be part of that. And The Fall Guy, like you said, but... Rampage. I'm very curious about that. And then I guess The Miz has another one called Long Shot, but I don't know what that is.
It's Marine 6 Long Shot.
Marine 6 Long Shot. I'm glad. Because you cut out when you said Slight, and I didn't hear it, so I'm like, I'm glad that happened. I just said that.
I knew that's what you were going to fucking say, too, and I'm just like, he didn't hear me.
No, I did hear you.
Yeah, I don't really know a lot about Slight. I just have looked at the poster, and I'm like, you know what? That kind of looks interesting.
I mean, can we get a job as, like, the people for WWE who seek out films at film festivals for them to make?
No. But I think that we should. But then that would mean you'd have to actually go to film festivals.
Hey, I mean, I'd get paid... to do that.
Yeah, you'd have to go pick up your badge, Brian. Come on.
That's true.
You know. It's just... I mean, I'd go to the, like, film festivals up in Canada and places. Speaking of film festivals, I saw Baby Driver yesterday.
Oh my goodness! You saw Baby Driver, the Edgar Wright movie. Is it as good as everybody said it was at South by?
Here's the thing: like, keep your expectations managed. Like, I mean, my expectations were already at a certain point because it's Edgar Wright, and that's easily my favorite filmmaker. But no, it's an Edgar Wright movie, and it's awesome. I loved it. I really did. I think that a lot of people are going to see it, though, and be like, yeah, that wasn't the best thing since pizza.
Well, but, that's what everybody has said about every one of his films. Literally, the masses, like Scott Pilgrim, it didn't make a lot of money. It actually bombed at the box office, and people just like, eh. Same thing with Hot Fuzz and the World's End. Yeah,
absolutely. That movie is so good.
It is, but people, if you go back and look, people are just like, eh, about it. But we all the secret cinema buffs love him, and they know it.
Yeah, well, I think we get it. Like, we understand what a well-made movie is, and I would have really loved to see his version of Ant-Man. I'm kind of bummed that didn't happen.
It would have been awesome.
It would have been, and there's remnants of his fingerprints all over that movie, but I don't know.
Well, we're getting Baby Driver, so that'll be awesome.
Yeah, it's a kick-ass soundtrack, man. You're going to really like that. It's going to be a vinyl for you.
I can't wait. But yeah, man, thanks for joining me on this special podcast, man. This is awesome. We're the Multimedia Men on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can find us at Boomstick Comics. And Scott, leave us with our lasting words.
Lasting words. John Wick 2 on DVD and Blu-ray sometime in June. Go watch it.
There you go. A true master right there. Well, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.